Hi, Dan.
Hello, Jason.
How's it going?
It's going okay. I got some tea.
Good, me too.
It's cold here today. It's winter is on the cusp.
So oh, no.
It was like 32 when I went out this morning.
Wow. Cold. Well, that's
I was not prepared.
we're in official fall now. Like the last couple of days have been much cooler, and because we had the, you know, that season, Indian summer, whatever you want to call it, that season that happens in October, late October, early November in California, where it's warm at the sort of middle of the day, but much, much cooler at night. And but the last couple of days, it's not been warm at all. And so I feel like it's like the truest sign. And a bunch of the trees are now very clearly turned or turning because they
happen
in stages. Oh, yeah. You're long gone. But
oh, yeah. We're losing leaves like nobody's business.
But here that's just that's going on now. So like the last few days, the high was like 84, 82, 79. And then the last couple, it's been 68, 67. It's like it's going down. And those are the highs. And then, yeah, often in the morning, it's down in the 30s. And it's the seasons are changing here, too. It's just, you know, behind you guys because you get a real winter and we don't. Whatever we have is not winter. It's just the, you know, colder season. Like it's 50 degrees out there right now. I don't know what that is in Celsius.
Right.
Sorry, Celsius people.
It's apparently 35 degrees right now. Possible flurry starting in 20 minutes.
Oh, well, that is not good.
Wow, that would be the first. Supposedly there might have been some in the higher elevations last night out west, but I haven't seen any snow yet, so that would be the first.
I have some Celsius translations for people now. It's 10 here now. We were getting highs at the midpoint of the day very briefly, around 28, but the last few days it's been down by 20, which I know seems warm. In Glasgow, that's a warm summer day. But here, that's a sign that we're headed downhill toward California winter.
Looking at the translation here, it's apparently not quite two.
Not quite two, yeah. That's about right.
That's so startling for me because like it gets down to like zero Fahrenheit here sometimes.
Right. But you're hovering right over freezing right now.
Yeah.
This is all the weather talk I don't get to have with Mike on
I know,
Mondays.
Mike doesn't like the weather talk, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to talk about the weather.
Mike's in Denmark. Something is truly rotten in the state of Denmark, and it's Mike. But he's in Denmark until like Tuesday night, so I'm gonna have to delay upgrade until he gets back. We just decided to delay it until he gets back this time. But
it means
my Monday is clear. I get really, I don't know if this happens for you, but like when you're a freelancer and a writer and a podcaster too, but like so you make your own schedule. Mm-hmm. And I find that what keeps me kind of moored to a feeling of normalcy is the podcast recording schedules.
Yep.
And when one of them pops off, like, oh, Monday at 9 a.m., you're not going to be doing upgrade. It's like, I'm going to be messed up the whole week because of that.
Yeah. A bunch of mine switched to nights for a little while to accommodate other people's schedules. And that was, I don't want to say a disaster, but it was one of those things where it's like, I had these wide swaths of open time during the day, and I used to have like noon podcasts a lot of days.
Right.
And that, again, I was totally with you. It kept me nice and grounded. I would go work in the morning. I'd come back, do a podcast, and I'd do some other stuff in the afternoon. And then stuff started moving for a while to like 8 or 10 at night. And it was like, oh no, that's like when my wife's home, you know, it's like the 2 hours I get to see her every night. And so in fact, just last night we were discussing, cause Monday is a holiday here in the US.
Right.
And I was like, we were discussing, oh, maybe we'll go do something, go visit my parents or something. And I kind of looked at my schedule, looked at Kat, and I was like, my Mondays are a wasteland. Like that's the hardest thing for me is like, I roll into Monday and I don't have a scheduled thing to do on Monday.
Yeah.
And my Mondays then often end up going kind of into the waste bin because it just feels like the weekend kind of drags out and I'm like, I'm not really motivated to start a new project. And,
well, that is the nice thing about starting Upgrade at 9 a.m. on Monday is that it gets
me into
my week.
That is a good launching point there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas this is like, This is the ease out for my week. It's like, oh, it's noon, it's Friday.
You're done until Tuesday, I guess.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, it's funny, Veterans Day on Monday, and that's one of those things where since I am my own boss, like I don't have holidays.
Right.
And so it ends up being kind of weird where, like, that's definitely happened over the last 5 years where we've had one of those, like, you know, the whole family's going to be off on Monday,
right,
and we can go do
other
something.
Other people, like, around.
Oh, like, well, but I got upgrade. And often it's like, I'll do upgrade and then we'll do something else. But yeah, because so like Monday, I had not even thought about the fact that it's a holiday that day. So maybe I'll...
You know, Jason, take the day off.
Maybe
that's
I'll take
from
the
me
day
to
off.
You. That's from me to you.
Maybe I will.
Yeah, why not?
Or maybe I'll get invited to an Apple event in mid-November in Toronto or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no telling anything could
Cabo.
Happen.
Hawaii, you know, the Android phone makers and such do these junkets in Hawaii. Apple has not yet had us all go to Hawaii. I would do that. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's a bit of a long flight for me, but worth it.
It is. It's a bit of a haul for you. Bit of a haul.
I probably wouldn't just turn around and come back again, though. I would probably stay for a little while.
So, you know, at least barring another Apple product drop in November, we got the AirPods. You and I have posted things about AirPods Pro on Six Colors. The last, mine was yesterday and yours was moments ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I was reading your thing and thinking that I wrote my thing. There's a section of mine that is basically addressed, it turns out, to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know, keeping in mind, like, AirPods Pro, they're great, but they're canal phones. And not everybody... Here's what I wrote. The original AirPods are earbuds, tucking somewhat loosely into the space outside your ear canal. AirPods Pro must be inserted into your ear canal and stay inserted by exerting pressure on the inside of that canal.
Yeah.
It's an entirely different sensation, and some people will hate it.
I am that person. I really dislike it. But it's become... The thing that's tough for me is that is the... It's kind of... It's not the de facto, but it is certainly one of the most popular styles of headphones
for
now.
Sure.
And I understand why. They're really small, they're really light, you know, they're unobtrusive. I think all of those are reasons why, and they, again, as I point out in my piece, you know, it's kind of an 80-20 thing where it's, I think the vast majority of people don't mind them. And if you're designing for the most common, you know, situation, if you're Apple and you're like, we need a headphone that's going to work for most people, then that seems to be what you do. So I can't blame them for not making headphones that appeal to the smaller percentage of us who don't like those. But it is a bummer because I really do like the AirPods Pro. I just have a couple things that hold me back. And unfortunately, they are not easily fixable. And they're things that I find very irritating. So were it not for that, I would unabashedly... be keeping it. And when I wrote this, it wasn't intended to necessarily be a review of, like, this is whether or not you should buy the AirPods Pro. I feel like this was a little bit more explaining where my position comes from in terms of how I feel about them, because I didn't have original AirPods, and I've bought a few other pairs of these, you know, canal phones, in-ear earphones, whatever you want to call them, and I think, you know, the AirPods Pro are better than many of them, but it still doesn't fix kind of just something that is it's part of the product. It's just the way the products work. In the same way that, you know, people complain about wearing over-ear headphones because it makes them hurt their ears, right? Like, there's only so much you can do about that. It's a thing you got to put on your ears, right? So that's just a limitation of it. Yeah, I don't know. I hope still someday that Apple might make something that is not this style of headphone, but I'm certainly not holding my breath about that.
At this point, Apple is making all the kinds, right? If you consider Apple and Beats, right? They're making all the kinds, and they kind of have to, right? Because one size is never going to fit all. I got used to canal phones at some point, and then I got the customs, which are canal phones, but they've got the, instead of the silicone tip, they've got that's like the, you know, just the silicone thing that's just generically shaped. It's literally the shape of my ears.
Right.
So they look really weird, but they fit, you know, perfectly, more or less, inside my ears and completely block the outside world, which is nice. But so I've gotten used to it. In fact, I've gotten used to it to the point now where sometimes I think all of the years of writing, especially like before I had an office where I'd be writing like on the bed and I'd have headphones in and I'd be just kind of jamming along and writing. I find sometimes that putting in headphones is enough of a cue to get me to write if I'm having trouble writing. And the in-ear headphones, there's something about that that especially like cues me that it's like it's time to focus. And I don't know. But I know people hate it. And that's okay, because I hate over-ear headphones.
Sure.
I hate things clamped on my ears. And I hate that it makes my ears like sweaty. And even though I have a pair now, because I really needed to get a pair of noise-canceling headphones that didn't block my ear canals for my trip to Hawaii, I still don't like it after a fairly short amount of time. I find it unpleasant. I just kind of like deal with it. So it's like everybody's different. And I can take my feelings about them and understand that other people feel that way about the canal phones.
Yeah, yeah. The problem with the Beats thing for me is like the stuff that Apple is predominantly making for Beats, at least that is not in-ear stuff. I have a pair of the Bose QC35s. And all the things that the Beats makes, like, they're pretty similar in terms of, like, size and bulkiness. So I'm not inclined to buy another set of those when I already have the QC35s. And I talk about this a bit in the piece I wrote. I really love the pair of Cosporta Pros I have, which are just sort of your super lightweight. I kind of compare them to the classic Walkman headphones. I like that. They're lightweight. They're over-ear. I mean, they don't block a lot of sound, that's fine, but they sound good, and I find them very comfortable. I just hate the design that they made with their wireless version, which is to say it's still got a stupid wire that runs between the two earphones and a giant battery pack and remote hanging off
that's,
it.
That's
and
why I often use the phrase truly wireless.
Yeah, no, I get it. I have a pair. I bought a pair of truly wireless ones that I loved the styling on by a company called JLab, and they look like they even have the orange foam ear pad, so they look like Walkman, classic Walkman headphones. And I like the design of it a lot. The sound is terrible. It's terrible. They're terrible sounding headphones, and that so depresses me because I feel like I would like somebody to make a set of these that looks good and sounds good, and that's. I would be very happy to pay for a nice pair of those, but I think that I am in such a small minority of people who like that kind of product that I am destined to be disappointed. But who knows? Maybe someday someone will come around or Koss will redesign theirs and improve upon the existing one. But I'm, again, not exactly optimistic about my prospects.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely still a rumor that there's an over-ear Apple.
Yeah, I think it'll product. Look more like monitors, though, right? Like, they'll be, like, big, I don't know. I feel like the rumors have it being more like something that competes with, like, the Bose or the Beats sets, but I don't know. I don't know. Apple's been making earbuds since 2001 now, and they seem pretty comfortable with the decisions that they've made. And I've never liked any of, like, I didn't like the original earbuds for the iPod 20 years ago. I pretty much immediately switched out with headphones that I already had. And that was the great thing about the headphone jack. You could get away with that. And certainly there are still a lot of Bluetooth headphones, but I think it's become certainly at the lower end of the market, or at that mid, I don't even know, in that segment of the market, I feel like it's less competitive, especially when people just like, I just use the ear pods that came with my phone or whatever. So, yeah.
I just got an email from somebody who was like, hey, thanks for reviewing the AirPods Pro, but I have a pair of original AirPods and they don't work well for me and it bugs me. And why doesn't anybody write about that? And I responded, it worked for me. So I can't really make things up about things I don't experience. Sorry,
yeah,
dude.
I got somebody asking me a lot of questions when I got them last week. I sort of was like on Twitter just saying, if you got questions, I'll try to answer them. And there was one particular guy who was being very nice. He really just wanted to know about the transparency feature. And we had this weird like talking at cross purposes where he would ask me these questions and be like, I don't know how to answer this question for you because I am telling you my experience of them and saying your experience might be different. But I was not clearly addressing the question he wanted, which was something about essentially how quote unquote realistic does the outside world sound when you have transparency mode on? You know, in terms of, I guess there are similar products which tend to sound a little bit more artifacty or something, or a little bit more filtered when you have that pass through mode on. I personally think the transparency mode is super good. Although you made this point, and I agree with you that it should drop the volume a little bit of the music, because
right,
if you're trying to listen for something, like for example, I'm at the coffee shop and I'm waiting for somebody to call my name, then the music can still sort of obscure that. But it really is like you toggle back and forth, and I especially notice it in places like the coffee shop where it's like, is the noise canceling really that good? And then I'll turn on the transparency mode and I'll be like, whoa. Yes, okay, it is making a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the way I finally realized it was, it's basically doing what my custom monitors do, but they do it by blocking
right,
my ears right. entirely. And the AirPods are partially blocking the ears and running noise canceling, and it's like everything outside is sort of turned down. It's not completely...
Sure,
gone,
yeah.
Just like it isn't for any other noise canceling headphones. It doesn't take it away completely. There are certain kinds of sounds that are removed better than others, but it still does a pretty good job. I did break out the lawnmower as promised a couple of weeks ago when these came out, because honestly the places that I use that I can't use AirPods are on airplanes and when I'm mowing the lawn, because they leak too much for those situations. It's just too loud. And lawnmower test, it definitely passed. That, like, I could still hear the lawnmower, although the lawnmower sounded weird because it was the frequencies it was filtering out. It started to sound, the lawnmower sounded more like it was like a fan. It was a weird thing. So I could tell that I was mowing the lawn, but I could hear. The point was, not that I could pretend the lawnmower wasn't running. It was useful. It's useful to know when the lawnmower is running or not. But what it meant was, it was at a much quieter level, and I could hear my podcast without cranking up the sound, which, as somebody pointed out after I posted my story, it's also good because... noise canceling is good because in general it lets you run your volume at a lower volume, and because you know if there's noise and then you crank up the sound, you're actually doing damage to your ears by making it so loud that it's audible. And so with noise canceling, that doesn't happen. You can keep it at a lower level, which is good.
Yep, that's certainly a benefit. It's one of those things where it is a pretty good feature. People who haven't used noise canceling stuff, I think, have high expectations of what it does, but it really works the best in situations where you have kind of like a constant noise running at a certain frequency, right? Like that's why it works great on planes, because you've got the noise of the engine is pretty steady as a pitch, and it's loud, and that's kind of a perfect situation for noise canceling. And yeah, it's not going to stop, you know, like if I have them on and my wife is, say, like washing dishes in the next room or something, a lot of times I'll hear like the clatter of dishes because it's sharp, high pitched sound that is irregular.
Yeah.
And it's not as good at that, right? Because it can't predict that, because it's always got to be a little bit ahead of where you're going, because the time it takes for that to reach your ears, I don't think it can. Maybe I'm talking out of my... talking ridiculousness here, but like I think it probably helps when it's so predictable, because it can say, all right, I can just constantly broadcast this one frequency to cancel out that frequency. But it's a lot harder when you kind of have to react to the world around you changing. So
right,
but it works pretty well.
Also, my Sony, I don't know what it is, but my Sony headphones have a little button that will toggle between modes, but the way it works is infuriating, where it'll be like, you know, it'll some of it, it has like a voice that says things, and you're toggling between like noise canceling and essentially pass through transparency and off entirely, and there's a lag. And that's something that I actually really appreciate about the AirPods Pro, is you grab the little stem area and squeeze it and hold, and there's a sound that is very brief, a chime, and you're in the other mode. And that by default, the only two modes that are in that are a toggle between noise canceling and transparency. And I know I can do that with my Sony headphones, and I could probably configure it so it's just the two, and I could probably train myself a little bit better on the button, but I'm telling you, as somebody who wore it for several flights, that I never did any of those things, and it was so frustrating that if the flight attendant came to say, you know, do you want chicken or pasta, I would just take the headphones off.
I would do the same.
And
yes,
with AirPods, I don't think I would need to do that. However, it comes back to my point, which is, however, in that moment, what I really want to do is pause my sound and turn on transparency, and I can't. So
yeah, right. It would be nice if you could
things.
It does let you configure the other, like the squeeze thing independently, but there's only two options. It would be cool if that were a third option, where pause and transparency.
So I think what you need to do is see the person coming, whether it's on your walk or coming down the aisle of the flight, and then turn on transparency, and then when they start to talk to you, then pause it. But you know, it's a good product. It's not for everybody. And AirPods are good too. And I'm glad that the AirPods aren't going away, because I think AirPods they serve a different market, and they're also a lot cheaper. And Apple tries to spin it as they're, you know, $50 more than the Qi charging case version of the AirPods, and that's true. But they're $90 more expensive than the non-Qi charging case version of the AirPods that's also available. So you know, there's for a lot of people, those AirPods are just fine, and in fact they may like them better, but if you want to block sound out and stuff, you know, they're great. They're a great product. I like them a lot. I'm looking forward to trying them out on my next flight, whenever that is.
Indeed. Yeah, well, that's what we've got.
AirPods. Yeah, what else, anything else going on out there?
Yeah, we're kind of since we did results last week, and it didn't seem like there was any October event. It seems kind of like we're in the lull of the post fall pre holiday shopping season. So probably not a lot's going to change between now and then. Sounds like there'd be some software drops. We saw an update yesterday that fixed that problem that Marco was complaining about, and a number of other people as well, about the shortened background activity time for apps in iOS.
Yeah, that was a bug.
Which was a pain. Yep, that was a bug, as it turns out. I definitely have... I started trying to keep a list of bugs that I had encountered, and I haven't been super diligent about it, but there are definitely still a lot of just slightly weird behaviors everywhere. Nothing that stops me from like really getting anything done the way that background activity thing really did, but a lot of stuff that just still feels kind of janky. I don't know. That's been my experience, at least more on iOS than on the Mac, I think, although I've run into a few on the Mac, certainly.
Yeah. I ran the update. I haven't been bitten by it like some people. It's a little bit like that email I just got. It's sort of like, well, if I don't see it, I can't write about it. You know, I can write about like anecdotes of other people. You know, many people are saying that there is a problem.
People with knowledge of a situation.
But I haven't seen it. So, you know, but there's definitely, everybody's gotten bitten by something or other. And
I have a good one where frequently something in CarPlay forces my car's head unit to reboot.
Oh, I've seen that. Seen that.
It's usually switching into it's supposed to do the automatic switch between light and dark modes when I turn on my headlights. And it only works if I already have the phone plugged in and then I turn the headlights on, it'll switch and sometimes reboot. But if I have the phone plugged in and the lights are already on, like I got in the car, turned the lights on, plugged in my phone, it's stuck. It won't, you have to like turn the lights off and then on again to have it flip. It can't read the state, it feels like. It's really strange. Yeah. I don't know why that's a thing, but this has only been an issue with iOS 13. I didn't have that problem with CarPlay or iOS 12. Well, at least that feature sort of existed in some of the apps, like Google Maps would do it, but not all
one.
The apps would do it.
Our CarPlay,
weird stuff like that.
Similar thing where mine is when it's connecting, it's doing this thing where, you know, it's trying to find the phone. It's like, oh, I see it in Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yes, you see it in Bluetooth, but also you should see it in CarPlay. And it's like, oh, no, now I see it in CarPlay. And like one time out of 10, it basically goes blank.
Yep.
I thought, oh no, what has this thing broken? And the answer is no. If you wait like 30 seconds, the entire CarPlay head unit reboots and connects to the phone, and then it's fine.
There's
and I never saw that
in
iOS 12, right? So,
Yeah, there are some. So, like, little things like that, I keep running into places where it's like, this is irritating, but it's, you know, it's not a showstopper or anything. Like, fortunately, your car doesn't stop, right, when your CarPlay unit reboots. But, yeah, it's I think it's interesting just because there is a feeling of bugginess with a lot of the software. And it might be small stuff. And, you know, that's always a weird balance because I know people like to talk about how Apple software always used to feel very solid. To me, that's not really true, at least not uniformly true. There have been periods of intense bugginess with all Apple products. But and the complicating factor is we ask these devices to do more and more things. They've become more and more complex. There are more and more apps. There's more and more variables interacting. And I think some of that comes with its fair share of little weird bugs, especially for things like edge cases, which by definition are things that most people aren't going to run into. And, you know, you can do a lot in QA to prevent these things from getting out there, but you're never going to have software that doesn't have any bugs. That's just pretty much not a thing short of, you know, working in super critical systems where that's like your only job. And even there, bugs happen. Just happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's hard to tell. Again, it's always hard to sift the anecdata from the actual legit, like, what's happening out there. But, yeah, it's been a rough fall for Apple, I think, in the software department. rougher than usual. And a lot of that is just there is, like, an echo chamber that tends to point out all these things when they break.
I thought yesterday about the fact that in a month or so I'm going to be mailing out my Apple report card form.
That time of year.
And yeah, it's coming up fast. I've been getting all the incomparable end of year things going on, and then I've got this going on because it's just like, oh yeah, this is happening now. But I was laughing about it because last year the Apple software quality thing, you know, ticked up. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, it's really going to tick down this time. It's going to go way down this year. And that's fine. I'm about to write a piece for Tom's Guide for Phil Michaels. And he asked me to do, like, iOS 14, you know, wish list kind of thing, which is, boy, I guess it's never too early for that. But I'm like,
I have
a take on that I could do. But, you know, number one is going to be, well, time to go back to the software quality focus, right? Like we did last year. Time to, you know, we ticked and now it's time to talk where it's like, back it off a little bit, fix all these things that are kind of weird. You know, you pushed forward, you know, this year, maybe like take it a little bit calmer next year.
It's a little funny. We were a couple, I don't remember now when we were talking about this, but it was within the last couple months. You and I were discussing server maintenance, among other things. Excuse me. And one of the things that came up in that was how we were both stuck on older versions of Linux for our servers and how updating them was a pain.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things I find interesting about the way a lot of those communities operate is that they essentially have multiple versions of development kind of at the same time with things that are designed to be more stable and things that are designed to be more bleeding edge. And they kind of have those operate in parallel, which I always found, I mean, it's incredibly fragmented and that provides its own challenges, but it's also an interesting approach to, like, you know, the counter approach to something that's sort of a tick tock of like, all right, we're pushing everything forward this year and there's going to be a lot of bugs and the next year we'll worry about maintenance. Means you only ever get 1 year of stability, right? Because if you follow that pattern, every other year is going to be kind of a mess. And that doesn't seem like a great solution either. So I don't know. Maybe there's another answer to that in terms of like how it handles the development cycle of major features and maintenance. And yeah, I think that's a big challenge. But I will say as an addendum to that, that I did finally rebuild my server this earlier this week. And it ended up being way easier than I thought it was going to be, which was very gratifying. It only took me about an afternoon
That's good.
Basically create an entirely new server, reinstall all my software. And I felt like because I jumped forward many, many versions, everything seemed a little smoother and seemed like it worked a little better. Like, I didn't have to fidget around with, like, installing software that didn't quite want to work well when I used the, you know, package installer tools. Everything just kind of installed and set up easily. And fortunately, I don't store a lot of data on that server. It's mainly my website. So moving over a WordPress installation is actually not that bad. The biggest problem was just waiting for the DNS to, like, switch over to the new machine.
Right.
But it's all up and running.
It's good.
So, yeah. Just now I'm keeping my old server around for, like, a month until I can be like, cool, cancel that. Goodbye.
Yeah, it's we are doing that where we've got the staging server basically up and running now, and that gives us a place to start putting stuff and make the migration over from our old version to our new version. And our challenge is that we're running some old software, so it's like you got to go to the new version of Ubuntu, but then you've got to downgrade. You got to put an older version of, you know, whatever, PHP, and it's just a process that we've
which
avoided.
Comes with its own challenges because, like, security and all that jazz. Yeah, sometimes there's problems that haven't been patched,
and you know what happens is that then your host comes to you and says, you know, we need to do this. We need to mandatorily move you or whatever. And you're like, oh, if you're running old software, you're like, oh no, what do I do? And I know that has happened to a few of us, recently. I'm not going to reveal all the people, but, like, it's not just me. Like, other people I've run into who have been like, oh, I need to upgrade that. And it's just, you know, computers, what can you do? But
yep. Progress marches ever forward.
Yeah. It happens on server and it happens on desktop, and that's just how it is. So, well, maybe next week we'll bring more interesting things. Who knows? Let's hope.
That, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know,
would Apple at some point, like, we're going to have to give up the dream of getting more Apple product announcements, because then Thanksgiving's going to come and, like, it's too late.
Although, you think there's any chance it's going to happen between now and Thanksgiving? I'm very skeptical.
I don't know. I mean, obviously the Mac Pro is sitting out there too, although that, I think that's easy. And they
that's
said fall.
Release.
They said fall for that, which means that it has to be between now and mid-December, right? And then they're not going to ship. Maybe they'll ship it on December 31st, but they presumably we'll put up pricing and ordering and stuff like that.
I mean, they did that with the last Mac Pro too, right? So
iMac
really
Pro
lagged. Yeah, exactly. But so the end of the year is like your pro hardware time, I guess.
I guess. I mean, it means it actually does mean that from a practical standpoint, if you've got a company with looking at tax years and all of that, and spending the money this tax year instead of next, et cetera, for very expensive stuff like a Mac Pro, then maybe. But yeah, I don't know. It's funny to be in this situation of is it going to come or not? Because it feels like the clock is already kind of ticked and we've reached the end, but we never got that laptop and we never got those tags.
Yeah, the tags thing. Oh man, is that an air power?
I mean, they never announced it. They never announced
right.
it.
I mean, again, is that the thing that they learned from air power? Is like, man, maybe these aren't quite ready. I was thinking about those this morning, though, because when I was airdropping something from my phone, I hadn't realized, I kept catching out of the corner of my eye every once in a while that, like, when you're doing airdrop in iOS 13, these little dots appear around your airdrop targets. And I was like, what is up with that? And I noticed that they moved. And I was like, oh, it's the wideband thing. It just doesn't work because I don't have another iPhone 11. And then none of the other products I have that support it actually have that directionality thing. But I think it's like a little UI cue about it. So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, those tag things, it seems like those would have been really good, you know, holiday-related things. That seems like a good time to do that, but maybe they're just not ready.
Maybe not. All right, well, regardless of whether there are tags or laptops or Mac Pros or nothing, we'll be back next Friday, right? You and me, you're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
No.
All right.
Not going anywhere.
Well, thanks to everybody out there for being a Six Color subscriber. We appreciate it. And until 7 days from now, when Kalandar beseeches that we return to this place.
Kalandar.
Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.